which was a substantial one, was how to make the advisory vote a binding vote on the legislature. And the response that we were able to develop there was to set up repealers in this bill so that if the vote of the public on this account is negative in the fall, the bill and the proposal are automatically repealed. And that if the vote of the public is positive on this proposal, the legislature itself must take affirmative action next session to enact the bill. And so we felt that that made the vote of the public the decisive factor rather than something that could be more easily ignored. So, and it put a further burden on the legislature to be responsive to the public's wishes. The other area of some concern or of some interest, of course, was what does this do to permanent fund dividends? It reduces them over the next couple of years by about a total amount of about $20 over the next 3 years. So that's the broad picture on the bill. I'd be glad to answer any individual questions that the committee might have at this time. I should say one other thing. It's an extremely unusual piece of legislation in that it has the full support of the spectrum of education groups, ranging from the superintendents to the boards to the teachers and to the parents, the PTA groups. So we feel that in that sense, it's a very unusual piece of legislation.
Is there any discussion? Yes, Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't know whether to thank you or kick you for
putting the subcommittee here,
but I guess I have two questions. One, I guess, is in the philosophy of the administration. Right now, we have the public school fund, which is an endowment, which I noticed this year the income stream from that endowment was used to offset general fund monies. And I guess my question is, why is the administration favoring an endowment program under this where it doesn't implement the endowment program that presently exists, or it doesn't recommend to implement that?
We looked first, when we first investigated this idea of whether or not this account could be established with the existing school fund, and found that there are some vague legal areas there that would make it difficult to put this account into the public school fund that already exists. There seems to be some sort of cloud over endowing that particular fund with public monies, and so we just decided to let that one sit where it is.
But I guess, Mr. Chairman, what my concern was is that this $8+ million, I believe, was the interest this year earned by the public school fund. Why didn't we receive a recommendation from the administration then that this $8+ million be added, say, to Senate Bill 330 to increase the instructional unit from 60,000 to whatever? I guess I'm just wondering about the consistency here. We have an opportunity to implement the philosophy. We're not, but yet we're asking the new one to be created. My second question was, does this bill have a fiscal note with it? I noticed it calls for an increase in the instructional unit to $64,950. What would be the fiscal impact on that?
By the Department of Education?
Yeah.
I'd have to defer to Deputy Commissioner Hill.
I guess to repeat my question for Mr. Hollis, if we were to increase the value of the instruction unit from 60,000 to 64,950, what would be the fiscal impact of that amount of money?
Mr. Chairman, I'm Steve Hull from the Department of Education. The cost of that magnitude of increase is $50 million, Representative Larson.
Thank you.
And who started that rumor earlier this year? We got a lot of PLMs asking us to make that increase. Who started that rumor?
I wouldn't have any idea, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any further questions? Yes, Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is the money binding, or how the local school districts will use it, is it binding on them that they would have to use it to increase the pupil-teacher ratio in grades K through 3, or could they use it in any way that was needed by the local district?
The way the bill's set up right now, they would have to first show to the department that they indeed had a pupil-teacher ratio in grades K through 3 of approximately 1 to 20, with exceptions being made in regulation for unique or unusual circumstances. Then, to the extent that the districts already meet that concern, they are free to spend the money on whatever problem they regard as critical. We found, for example, one district where they have a K-3 PTR of 1 to 20, but they've done it at the cost of not opening a new high school. We felt it was unfair to penalize that particular district, and yet know that on a statewide basis, it's a fairly critical concern to get that PTR down low. Schools in the villages, for example, generally meet the PTR ratio already. They would be free to use this money for whatever other purpose they deem critical.
Thank you.
Representative Wallace.
Thank you. Will you be taking money from children's permanent fund check? Is this just a...
It would be from every permanent fund check.
There was concern in my district that why are we taking money from children's permanent fund checks when it is a state fund? I would just ask the committee to look into that.
That's a legitimate concern, Representative Wallace. The only thing I can do is point out that even though there's some money that would be diverted into this earnings stream, the dividends still continue to grow over this process, over this time, in spite of this legislation being enacted. So they still get larger checks.
Yes, Representative Larson, then I'm sorry.
Personally, I would prefer to go first for the ELF, but yeah.
Okay, I guess I'm getting back at this increase of $4,950 per instructional unit and trying to find out what the basis for that amount of money is. I know under the mitigating circumstances, if I recall correctly, before LBNA, we had sent out to all, or the department had sent to all the REA districts asking them how much money they thought they would need to really balance their budget, and the figure came in slightly over $4 million. That takes care of the REA districts. I don't know what the amount would have been in relation to the municipal school districts in both cities and boroughs, but I'm sure it would have fell somewhat short of $50 million. So I guess my question is, what is the criteria that's used to determine that the $64,950 is any better than the $60,000 that presently exists?
We were looking at trying to restore the level of funding that's been cut over the last 2 to 3 years, which the estimates on that are about $80 million. And then we were trying to balance that off against a conservative estimate of how much the public school account would earn, which we think it'll actually earn closer to $60 or $70 million, but we didn't want to increase the instructional unit to the limit of what the school account might earn. So we chose a slightly more conservative figure, so that we were sure that the account would produce that much income, and yet it would, to the extent possible, restore the funding cuts.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, Representative Larson, the $64,000 figure was arrived at very scientifically. We were asked what the value of the instructional unit would be if there were $50 million more dollars, and we just backed our way into it.
Yeah.
And that's...
Thank you. On the long term of the... permanent fund and going into the permanent fund, is this the first start of the Cooper administration to get into the permanent fund reserves? The next bill we'll see, if this passed, maybe it would be to health and social services?
Mr. Chairman, I don't think it's any secret that the governor feels that the permanent fund earnings should be available for government use.
Okay, so you're saying yes?
Yes, sir.
Representative Rieger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess my question was almost the same as Representative Adams, but I was wondering how many more endowments will be set up within the corpus of the permanent fund. We've had proposals for the research endowment and now the school endowment, whatever it's called. And I know that when the Constitution was first passed, there was a real abhorrence to endowments because it led to less than full competition amongst the various sources of or the various alternatives for state spending. That led to best performance. I'm wondering, is this the last one, or will there be quite a few more?
Well, Representative Rieger, I'd point out that from a constitutional perspective, this is not a dedicated fund because the annual earnings stream comes before the legislature for appropriation. If the legislature so chose in its wisdom, it could appropriate this money for roads.
Mr. Chairman, I'll have to reread this, but that's sure not how I read it when it says that the income may be appropriated to the public school account.
May. It's the entire bill, we had the attorneys go over it with the proverbial fine-tooth comb. The entire bill is subject to AS 3707 in terms of the earnings or the income.
So will there be more endowments set up within the corpus of the permanent fund? Do you know, are you aware of others in the work?
I'm not aware of any others' proposals in that direction, no.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any further questions? Thank you to
Mr. Chairman, maybe just a brief comment. I guess we heard the department's philosophy. I'm going to take a half a minute here on mine. I guess my philosophy at this point is to provide the best quality education to every student in the state of Alaska from K through 12, even younger. The only reservations that I have, Mr. Chairman, is that we are spending $180,000 for a study so that we can really, hopefully, of course, define what is the basic need out there in relation to geographic differences, small school, large schools, and so forth. And whether we need $4,950 or $14,950 more, I don't know. I guess what I'm trying to say at this point is that I'm hesitant. I want to move ahead, but I don't know whether it's premature to move ahead or not. So, of course, I'm going to look for some counsel by other members of the committee in relation to that as we work with our subcommittee.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, this is the end of our agenda. I've got House Bill 444, which will be coming up tomorrow, and would you look at the changes also, please? House Finance is adjourned. We're going to continue with a subcommittee on House Bill 2.